1057 WLGC presents Airing It Out. Now, here's your host, Drew Skaggs.
I figured you would. This is Airing It Out, broadcasting live from the Palatial Studios of 1057 WLGC, located two blocks from the always crystal clear Ohio River. Welcome to the juggernaut known as AIO, where we bring to you topical talk radio that is informative, illustrative, ingratiating, instigating, invigorating, and infuriating, emotions felt all at the exact same time. We can be reached two different ways this evening during the course of the next 2 hours. 1-800-551-1057, or by going to drewskaggswithak.com, and that is the live internet stream of our show. Are we living in Seattle? When did this happen?
I don't know. It's the, you know, the global warming. It's been cool and rainy.
I know. I just I think the Ironton Tribune had a story today. So it was the I should pull it up right here, but it's the coldest July since 1963, I think.
Yeah.
I'm pulling that out.
I don't know the numbers, but I would guarantee that it's coolest July in a while.
Yeah, and I'm reading the comment section over there, because they're at the Arlington Tribune, their website, the commenters, the people that comment on various and sundry stories that are placed there, they always have a give and take. You got the liberals and the conservatives, and it's hilarious to read the comments, but you've got the liberals saying, "See, this is global warming. That's exactly what's happening. What's happening is the ice caps, yeah, they're melting. And then the cold water goes down further south, and it is the water temperature that is cooling as a result of global warming that is putting the..." And I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. You know, when we've had stories about ice, remember the iceberg from Argentina that was growing?
Yeah.
And it said, iceberg refuses to listen to global warming or something like that was the headline.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, we got a lot of stuff tonight. Thanks to you, I did get some information on that Piketon plutonium plant. And the money, the loan that was supposedly going to be backed is not being backed by the government, and it's not going to happen. But fear not, they're still going to place jobs because they're going to clean it up. That's basically it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. Have you seen the White House is asking Americans to spy on those who don't support universal health care?
I have not.
Have you seen that?
No.
It's right on the webpage of the White House. Let's see, where is it? Oh, here it is. It is posted by Macon Phillips. She is the new media person for the White House. And she writes, quote, "There is a lot of disinformation about health insurance reform out there, spanning from control of personal finances to the end-of-life care. These rumors often travel just below the surface via emails or through casual conversations. Since we can't keep track of all of them here at the White House, we're asking for your help. If you get an email or see something on the web about health insurance reform that seems fishy, send it to us here at the White House." When did the brown shirts take over the White? I mean, could you imagine George W. Bush doing this?
And everybody would be upset about that.
With the Patriot Act and, you know, where are the people that were hooting and hollering and screaming about the Patriot Act? And now the White House is asking Americans to spy on one another and send it to them if you disagree with the health care package.
That's different, though. That's the citizens spying on each other, not the government spying on the citizens.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. It's just smacks of Nazi Germany in the 30s. I mean, that's what, you know, they relied. That's how they did it. They relied on fear. Of not being, you didn't want to say anything because your neighbor might report you. They're asking for it on the front page of the White House website. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Andrew Skaggs is the name, and I am against universal health coverage, so you can just email that into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and I can be put on the enemy's list. I mean, which is another thing. It's like Nixon. Remember that?
Yeah.
All the liberals, you know, they love going to movies about that have Nixon as the villain because he had an enemies list. You know, but now you've got to do that because it's disinformation that's being put out there, and we've got to counter that. No, actually, what you're trying to counter is free speech. The First Amendment. That is what's trying to be countered here. Bill Clinton, the Slickmeister, Slick got the two ladies released from North Korea. Slick has always, always been good at picking up the ladies. Our Bill Clinton theme song, congratulations, I'm glad he's got him back on American soil. I am. But, you know, I guess Kim Jong-il is over there saying, oh, you give away the missile secrets to us? Yes, we'll give you the girls. It's a fair trade. We're even now. And if you doubt me, Google North Korea Clinton administration missile plans. How do you think these people got missile plants? They can't even feed their population. And they're building missiles. But all that being said, you know, somebody called me and said, you know, the word is that President Obama has not even called Bill Clinton since he brought them home. Can you... I don't know if that's true or not.
It doesn't really surprise me.
I know. What they told me was they haven't spoken in a year. Yeah, but no, it doesn't surprise me. But what is interesting about the whole thing is such things as this, going over to despotic regimes like North Korea, as a representative of the United States of America, are usually handled by whom within the machinations of the United States government? Do you have any idea?
Not really.
The State Department.
Ah.
The State Department usually does these things.
Okay.
Who's in charge of the State Department? Who is Secretary of State? Oh, Jeffrey.
I'm out of it today. I'm sorry.
She is very close to Bill. Well, that's probably that's probably a bad choice of words.
Yeah.
But
okay,
Hillary Clinton is the Secretary of State.
I should have said that.
And off goes Bill. Hey, Kim. Listen, I gave you the secrets. Now, listen, just give me the chicks. That's all I want. And I'm out of here. And it happened. But all kidding aside, I'm glad that they are away from that hellhole called North Korea. And I was talking to somebody last night about it. I said, you know, you can say what you want about Slick, and I've said plenty of things about him, but he is the master of Bravo Sierra. I will give him that. But he took a big chance. I mean, you go over to these, there's very few countries like North Korea that are so tyrannical and led by such a closed-off dictator like Kim Jong, mentally ill. When you get over there, you don't know. He took a big risk. Kudos to him for bringing them home. I'm glad they did. But I was talking to to this guy last night, and I said, you know, he did take a big risk, but even Barack Obama, if something had happened to Bill Clinton over there, they got to know. If something happens to a former president on our soil, we will be nuked. I would hope that would be the case. Even Barack Obama would probably draw a hard line at something like that. But on the final note about these ladies that Bill Clinton sprung from North Korea, do you know who they work for?
No.
Al Gore. I'm serious. They work for that TV network of his.
Oh.
What is it called? I don't even know what it is.
Know.
I don't know what it is. It's some TV network he's got. Yeah. Where's Al been in all this? The portly Al Gore. Once again, relying on Slick to take up the slack. Did you see that stuff in Louisville, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
I was fixated on that.
I
my mother-in-law called me and said, you got to check this stuff out on Weather Channel.
Didn't hear about it till late last night. I was watching the Weather Channel just to see what it was going to be like today. And it was nasty. I wouldn't have imagined it would have been that bad there.
I know. And you know, Weather Channel, I mean, they're just, they love natural disasters.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they just.
That's true.
They do. It is, if it bleeds, it leads, is a refrain for a lot of the alphabet networks on the nightly news, but both local and national. But with the Weather Channel, you know, if there's a natural disaster, man, we are in hog freaking heaven.
Yeah.
And they were just, you know, they put on the, oh, it's just an awful thing. But, you know, they just love it, which, to their credit, I was able to sit there and just watch the whole thing because my jaw was just on the floor at just how much rain fell so quickly down there.
Yeah.
Since it's a short break, short segment, have you, you know, the Postal Service, is what they've jacked up the prices on stamps, well, three times in the last year or something?
Yeah.
I went in there actually last week, and I buy a bunch of stamps at one time. So I went in there, and I was on my last, whatever you call those things. What do you call them?
Book?
Yeah, whatever they are.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was peeling them off, and I go in there, and I'm thinking, okay, they bumped them from 42 to 44, so I got to get 22 cent stamps, 20.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Not 20, 22 cent stamps to be able to mail it, right?
Right.
So I'm in there, and I asked, you know, okay, could I buy some too? And she said, well, why? And I said, you jacked the rates up again. And she said, well, you've got a forever stamp there. Were you aware these things existed?
Well, I
said, what the heck's a forever stamp?
I was after the last time they jacked them up because somebody went to buy like a whole roll of stamps. And they said, well, we don't have any of the old ones, but we have the forever stamps. And she explained it to the person in line in front of me. And I'm like, okay, that's what I want then.
So they're good forever.
So you buy them for whatever the current price is, and you don't have to use anything else. They're good at that price forever, and you don't have to add anything to them.
It's not working for them. Dateline, I don't even know where this is. Postal Service may close 1,000 post offices and curtail home delivery. The Postal Service is having major financial problems and could shut down as many as 1,000 branches, possibly cutting back on home delivery. They're talking about going to 4 days a week. Post Office is heading towards a $7 billion with a B loss this fiscal year. Competition from the Internet and other delivery companies are being blamed for the problem, along, of course, with the recession. Competition from the Internet and other delivery companies are being blamed for the problem. The freaking Post Office has no competition for letters. Do they?
Not really.
No, they don't.
No.
Yeah, I mean, competition when you overnight or second day, but they have that too.
Right.
They have no competition for letters and still can't make a profit and, in fact, lose $7 billion. There's FedEx and even UPS both compete against each other, and they make big profits. Amazing. It is another lesson in government. And you still want them to run the healthcare system, do you? You got to be kidding me, really. Think about it. Cash for clunkers. They can't even do that right, and it's $1 billion program, $1 billion. That a billion. We just spent $1 billion in the time I did that right there. I mean, $1 billion is like you and I finding a quarter in our love seat compared to the government. $1 billion is nothing, and they can't even do that right. You know how they're fixing it? Besides throwing another $2 billion at it, you know how they're fixing it?
Yeah.
They're subcontracting out. With City Financial to have people come in and clear the backlog. So they're outsourcing is what they're doing. They're hiring 300, 400, 500 or something, some number of City Financial people to come in and clear the backlog. You know, get on the phones, figure out where it was. And I've got a story about it. And you still want them to run healthcare? Seriously, think about it, folks. They've got no competition. Now that I say that, no competition in letter business, and they still lose their behinds. But that is the goal with universal health care. Clear the deck. Get rid of private insurance where they have no competition. That is the goal. So that they can do this. And as I've pointed out time and time and time again, they don't have to make a profit. All they do is jack taxes when there's no competition. What are they doing with the letters? Three times in the last year, they've jacked rates. And they're still losing money. Another lesson in government. You're listening to Airing It Out. So I tend to look at it like this. Internet Explorer rocked it there because something unexpected happened and I was able to restore it by the time I came back on the air.
Yeah. If it works for you, I guess you don't need to change.
But, I don't like change.
Yeah, but for me, you know, I didn't like what I had before, so I needed something different that worked better.
I know. Well, you got these Macintosh people that are just lunatics.
I hear that everywhere, yeah. But I'm probably on the cusp of getting one.
Really? I know. You are thinking about crossing over.
Yeah. I've been thinking about it for a while.
Huh?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it for a while, but in the last month or so, I've been looking online, and it's really tempting. The price isn't, but everything else
is. So then your Firefox goes away.
They make Firefox for Mac, too.
You know, Foxfire was a very good movie. Did you ever see that Clint Eastwood?
I don't think I have.
He stole a jet right from under the Soviet Union, right under the Ruski's nose.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It's from the 80s. You wouldn't. this is Airing It Out. We can be reached 1-800-551-1057. So you provided me this information about the stuff going on in Piketon.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to the very start and kind of catch people up on what's going on. And this is the original story from Piketon. While the speculation is running rampant nationwide about a possible nuclear power plant in southern Ohio, here's what we know. This is from WSAZ.com. Politicians, energy CEOs, and labor leaders will gather Thursday at... Now, this is probably in late June, correct?
Yeah, a couple weeks, you know, months ago, so something like
right.
that.
Right, so this is... To announce a multi-billion-dollar clean energy production center coming to the site. Senator George Voinovich said it's nuclear. So do local labor leaders and insiders who can hardly contain their excitement. There's plenty of room for what the new president of the local steelworkers and atomic workers union said will house the first nuclear energy plant built in Ohio in decades. According to Bobby Graf, Duke Energy and a French nuclear energy company will join with the private United States Enrichment Corporation in construction and operation on the Piketon site. Jean Schmidt, U.S. Congresswoman from Ohio, said, I believe that in 3 or 4 years you will see 4,000 construction jobs. Okay? So everybody was excited. Union leaders, politicians, everybody. Then... It says, the News Tuesday, I don't know what this date this is, deals with the long-proposed American centrifuge plant. The government is pulling the loan guarantees, but at the same time announcing hundreds of jobs and cleanup efforts. No matter how you slice it, jobs are coming to the Piketon, Ohio plant. A lot of good-paying jobs, but they won't be in the form originally planned. On Tuesday, the U.S. Department of Energy announced it's yanking its loan guarantees for the long-proposed centrifuge plant, first announced in 2004. Instead, it's funding 18 months of research and development. That doesn't sound good.
No.
Energy Secretary Stephen Chu said, quote, while we believe USEC needs time to develop its technology and demonstrate that it can be deployed at a commercial scale, we're moving forward with other investments that will create good, high-paying jobs in the community. Local politicians from Democrat Ohio State Representative Todd Book to Republicans Voinovich and Schmidt all vow to fight back. Now this one from the AP. A company said it's suspending construction on a uranium enrichment plant because the federal government would not grant a $2 billion loan guarantee. In a statement, USEC Inc. John Welch, the CEO, said Tuesday that the Bethesda, Maryland-based company was advised of the Department of Energy's decision, which he described as shocking and disappointing. Now, this is from Friday. About 150 workers from the Piketon area rallied on Capitol Hill Friday to ask the president to reconsider the loan regarding the uranium enrichment site in Piketon, Ohio. The workers attended a rally thrown by Gene Schmidt. They held signs saying, "Keep your promise," to remind President Obama that he said he'd support the loan guarantee for the plant when he was running for office. Schmidt held the rally to ask the White House to reverse a decision to reject the loan guarantee. When the USEC begins demobilizing in August, 600 workers at the plant face layoffs. And that's the kicker, that very last thing. 600 workers face layoffs. You want it in a nutshell. I'll give it to you in a nutshell. They don't want nuclear power. They don't believe in nuclear power. They don't believe in coal power. None of that. They, this administration, wants, what did he grant today? $2.4 billion. You know what for? Electric car production. Electric cars. 2.4. That nobody buys. And nobody cares to own. But it satisfies the environmentalists out there. So while he promised, oh, he came to Ohio, President Obama promised to support the loan guarantee. Not now. But he sees fit to give $2.4 million to buy electric cars, to produce electric cars. And how do electric cars run? How do you get the electricity to run electric cars? Well, with this administration, they'll probably give 10.4 to a windmill farm or whatever. So, on one hand, you've got an up-and-running power plant in an area starved for jobs. Now, you say, Skaggs, you know, you talk about government, they, you know, not providing jobs. Well, they're not, because who else was involved? USEC, the French company, and Duke Energy. Private companies all. Each and every one of them. What they were looking for was a loan guarantee. Because you're talking about enormous startup costs of about $3.5 billion to do this. But it doesn't fit the template of what this administration wants. They don't want to produce power via nuclear or via coal. They want the pixie dust, alternative energy stuff, which, if it was all, if it existed, that's the beauty of private markets and private capital. If it existed, it would already be out there making all kinds of cash. It's not. But this administration will peel off $2.4 billion to make electric cars. How long has electric cars been on the drawing board? I have heard about electric cars since I was a young kid. It's the future. Just plug them in and they go. I have heard about that for 3 decades. And it's done. And the only ones that have really tried to do this is the government. You've had GM and these other bankrupt companies try it over the years. There is no market for electric cars. There is a market for power. And there's an opportunity to provide jobs in southern Ohio. They are not loaning $2 billion. It's a loan guarantee. It's not like they're peeling off a check and giving $2 billion. It's like bonds. You know, when you build a sewer system, when you build a road, when you build a highway, when you build bridges, when you build anything that is a public service function, they are bonded. And who backs the bonds? The full faith and credit of the United States government. Which heretofore, before the last 6 months and Homie the Clown, we had a lot of credit. We don't anymore. Bonds just went up for sale last month. Nobody wanted them. Would you invest in a country like us right now? Yeah, you probably would if you're looking for the long run. However, there's a lot of trepidation. There's a lot of pause before doing so. So from what I can tell, from what I've read here about what has happened up in Piketon, is this administration promised during the campaign. And the president is quoted in here personally as saying he is going to back the guarantee once he became president. Well, now he's in. He doesn't need your vote anymore. He won it already. He won Ohio. He's in the White House. He doesn't have to worry about your vote for three more years, three and a half more years. And by then, he'll make all kinds of promises leading up to that. But now that he's in, he's willing to do this $787 billion stimulus package and putting the money God knows where, because nobody knows where it's going. And he's willing to stick $2.4 billion into electric cars. And he's willing to put $3 billion into cash for clunkers. I thought this administration was about jobs. We're going to produce jobs. We're going to help people. But not when it conflicts with their pie-in-the-sky environmentalist goals. And that's what this comes down to. As I said, they're not being asked to write a check for $2 billion. They're just being asked to back the loan. Now, if it goes belly up, are they on the hook? Absolutely, they're on the hook. But guess who's going to get plucked first? The French company, Duke Energy, and USEC. They'll get plucked first if it goes belly up. So the government in no way will have to pay $2 billion if this project fails. But they promise cleanup jobs, 800 to 1,000 of them. And SAZ parrots the line. There's jobs coming. There really are. But not the jobs that were promised. That could be the hallmark of this administration. Really, stick with us. We promise. Green jobs, they're coming. Oh, but they're probably not going to be what we promised. And SAZ says 800 to 1,000. Well, I just read the very last sentence. When USEC begins demobilizing in August, this month, by the way, 600 workers at the Piketon plant face layoffs. But fear not, you 600 workers that are facing layoffs this month, making good money, providing for your families. There's going to be 800 to 1,000 come in and clean up your plant, your mess. Now, what's going to happen when it's cleaned up? Those jobs are gone too. So they can go out and they can talk about recovery and how the recession is behind us. And I've got letters to the editor from Goofballs talking about how the glory days are back again. Really, 528,000 people lost their jobs in July. Again. And here locally, 600 of them facing a job loss. Because the president went back on his word to them. He promised him that he'd back the loan when he became president. Is he? No, he's not. And I don't know what kind of excuse they're given. I haven't heard anything from the administration about it. But Homie the Clown was able to find $2.4 billion to make electric cars with. That nobody's going to buy. And nobody's going to sell. But who's going to make it? Oh, that's right. The companies that the government now owns. Subsidizing. That's all they're doing. So yeah, you workers down in Piketon, I'd be furious too. I'd be furious too. Because he's got this environmental plan, this green... These green jobs that are going to... You have no idea how many great jobs are going to be out there once this green program gets going. Green jobs. Yeah? Well, when you hit the unemployment line this month, you know who you're going to thank for it. You know where he resides. That's why. Sold a bill of goods. The shell game, the three-card Monty, continues. Unfortunately, it's going to cost a lot of people jobs. A lot of people in Piketons and Pike County and the surrounding areas, it's going to cost them their job. And as if on cue following that last monologue, I got the liberal callers come out of the woodwork. When you do what I did last segment, how dare you call our president that? That is so distasteful. Well, you know, what's more distasteful? That or promising people that you're going to back a loan and keep their jobs, and then 6 months later say, you know, thought about it. Psh, no loan for you. What is more distasteful? So quit snorting the Kool-Aid powder, okay? Seriously. Open your eyes a little bit. You're offended at that, but you're not offended at the fact that he lied to the people that are working at that Piketon plant. Priorities. Maybe. Seriously, for the life of me, I can't figure out people sometimes. What they consider to be the right thing. It's A-okay that he's going to go back on his word. And once again, remember, it's a loan guarantee. It wasn't a loan. The same guy that is putting Porculus money all over the place now owns two bankrupt car companies. Puts $2.5 million into electric cars. That's not a loan guarantee, trust me. That's $2.5 billion in taxpayers' dollars that has to be cold, hard cash. Cause ain't nobody gonna go build electric cars other than the government, because you know why? They lose their behinds because nobody wants an electric car. But here's an opportunity to grow Southern Ohio, add to our energy infrastructure, and doing it with the cleanest of the clean nuclear energy. There is nothing cleaner than nuclear energy. Oh yeah, Skaggs, windmills are. What, you going to dot Southern Ohio with windmills? You think that's going to do as much as an up-and-running power plant? No, it's not. So, I'm not even going to say I'm sorry, because I'm not. You people got to get a grip sometimes. I love you, but you'd rather be outraged at something I said as opposed to being outraged at the president not following through on his promise. And you know what happens then? You have, where is that? I told you you're supposed to look for this. I just had it. The Ohio story.
Yeah.
Aha! Here we go. Dateline Toledo. As U.S. recession bites, Ohio hopes fade for Obama.
Tin soldiers and Nixon's coming. We're finally on our own. This summer I hear the drumming. For dead in Ohio.
Hope and jobs are in short supply in Ohio 8 months after President Obama won the recession-battered state in the 08 election with promises of a better future. Well, we know how one promise worked out, don't we? Quote, people were looking for a savior to, you know, that's the problem in a nutshell. I'm not looking for a savior. I know who my savior is. I'm looking for a president. That's who I was looking for, not a savior. to get us out of this mess, and that's why they voted for Obama, said Jeff Fravor, 55, a retired train conductor on his way to breakfast. I have nothing against Obama personally, but he's new to the job, and hope won't fix this mess. Candidate Obama delivered his message over and over again in Ohio, a politically diverse battleground state that often decides presidential elections. Obama went back to the state last week with an approval rating below 50%. That tells you something about Southern Ohio, doesn't it? What he thinks of us here in Southern Ohio? Not here, but in our listening audience. He's below 50% in Ohio, and he still does this. What's that tell you about what he thinks about you? A Quinnipiac University opinion poll released on July 7th showed the Democrat president's popularity in America's seventh most populous state had fallen to 49% from 62% in May. Whoa! That's a 13% drop in 2 months. Even worse for Obama, 48% said they disapproved of his handling of the U.S. economy, with 46% approving. The reason for the poll drop? Rising unemployment. And if it all pans out, which, trust me, I hope that it doesn't, I hope, wow, I'm with the president on this, I hope that he gets, I hope that our president actually delivers on his promise, on his word, that he was going to back this loan to the Piketon plant. Not he personally, but the full faith and credit of the United States was going to back this loan. And I hope he still does that. Unemployment in the state of 11.5 million people reached 11.1% in June, compared with the national rate of 9.5%, making it the seventh highest rate in the country. Michigan was first with a rate of 15.2%. But fear not, they're going to make electric cars. And that's going to take care of everything. Ohio's unemployment has nearly doubled from 5.7% in January of 2008. Who was president then at 5.7%? The same guy that people said, it can't get any worse than Bush. He's the worst. Are you kidding me? Anybody would be better than Bush. How many times did I hear that refrain? Still think so? And I know the Kool-Aid drinkers will probably call. Say, this is still Bush's fault. Yeah, right. You keep thinking that while the unemployment rate keeps rising. Obama set expectations too high here, and 6 months later, things haven't gotten better, so some people are losing hope. What? I thought it was all about hope and change. Yeah. But some people are losing hope, said John Johnson, branch manager of the Southeastern Container Incorporated plant in nearby Bowling Green, which makes plastic bottles for Coca-Cola. Johnson said he had to turn away qualified workers from auto-related plastic companies seeking work. When people are out of work for a long time, they become very impatient. The news is all around you, folks. It really is. And the Piketon plant is just a microcosm of the national plan that this administration has, which is to say, not one at all. If there was an alternative energy source, once again, that actually could replace coal and could replace nuclear power, it would already be happening. There is no such plan. So he comes to Piketon and says, I promise you that I will back this loan. That's what a teleprompter told him. And 8 months later, he's pulled his support from it. I'd be mad too. Absolutely. While unemployment keeps rising in Ohio. And you've got the people out there saying, no, we've seen the worst of the recession. It can't get any worse. folks, I'm here to tell you, it can get a lot worse. They can spin it however they want to spin it. And I've got a letter that I'll read first part of next hour from a letter writer in Ashland talking about how great things are now. We've turned the corner. We're ready to go. That's the spin that's being put out there. Don't fall for it. It's fool's gold. You can look at economic indicators and all this other stuff. Of course they're going to rise. When you throw $1.5 trillion into the economy, it's going to rise. But will it keep rising? That's the question. And when you've got jobs and workers at the Piketon plant, an up and running plant that is providing electricity, and you have the opportunity to keep those jobs for decades, and all it requires is a loan guarantee from the United States government, this is not something that is just pie in the sky. It's a proven, nuclear power is proven. Why do you think a French company is involved? Because 92% of the power in France is from nuclear power. They know how to do it. Other than surrender, they know how to make nuclear power. But he'd rather spend $2.4 billion on electric cars. But he'll come back down to Ohio when those numbers keep plummeting as the election's 18 months out. He's going to come back, and he's going to tell you all these things he's going to do. Remember what he did to Piketon. We received a call during the break from a person that wants to remain anonymous. Would that be a good description?
That's right.
Well, I mean, after all, the White House is asking for us to snitch on one another. And write into them, email into them if they hear anybody in casual conversation not liking the University of Healthcare. I don't blame you for wanting to stay anonymous.
Okay. Right.
However, I cannot, which is no big deal. The person, and we're gonna keep the person really anonymous by letting you not know if it's a male or a female.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
She thanked me for talking about the Piketon deal. And here's the backdrop to it. The Piketon people that have called, they don't know what I'm going to say. The person that called here, and we've had a few of them call, they don't know what I'm going to say. They just asked me to look into it. That's all they asked me to do. You know, I could have come out here and said, yeah, you're darn right, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't back that loan. They had no idea what I was going to say. But that person wanted to let me know that they appreciated it, and that's no problem. But they wanted to point out that I believe I'm paraphrasing here because you talked to that person.
Right.
But they said, you know, what you said was right. He's going back on his word, and we want people to know that he is being bought off by special interests. Is that basically what they said?
Right. Yes.
Anything else?
That's about it. Okay. To make sure that people knew what kind of a man he really was.
Well, as president, you can't really point to this one thing. You know, I'm going to take up for him, believe it or not. You can't really point to this one thing and say, well, you know, this is the kind of man he is. Although I understand the knee-jerk reaction and the closeness to the thing, the situation there in Piketon. I understand the knee-jerk reaction is to say that. They hit it on the head, being bought off by special interests. And an example of that is the electric car boondoggle. Why do you think they've, quote-unquote, saved the car companies? And they're coming up with electric car plans, this cash for clunker. This is payback. That's what this is. It's payback to the union bosses. Pure and simple. I'm not talking rank and file. I'm not. The union bosses are who decide how much money and what they're going to give the election cycle. And they went, Texas Hold'em, they went all in on Obama. And they expect payback. That's what this is about. But really, as I pointed out with the Piketon thing, there's no money coming out of the pocket, which is what I don't understand. There's no money coming out of their pockets. Their pockets, which is, I've fallen into the trap. Their pockets. They act like it's their money. It's our money. But none of our money is going into the Piketon plant. It was just a guarantee. You heard me read the article. It was a $3.5 billion project. That means the other three entities, the French company, Duke Energy, USEC, were going to come up with $1.5 billion cash from them themselves. And they just wanted the other $2 billion guaranteed, backed up with the full faith and credit, and we couldn't do that. But we can fund electric cars. Then you got people like Ed Edwards writing into the Daily Independent. Got number 6 ready to go.
Yeah.
It's entitled, and this is what I mean by people looking at this and they're so bitter about things. This is how he sees it. Healthcare reform is far from dead. Did you hear that the stimulus failed? That healthcare reform is dead? That Obama's job approval is crashing? And that cap and tax is a jobs killer? Is any of this true? Of course not, but I heard it on Fox News. What are you listening to it for, Ed, then? Why are you listening to Fox News, then? If it bothers you so much. You've got all the other alphabet networks you can listen to that parrot the line. ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN. Why don't you listen to them if it bothers you so much? You've got free will, Ed. Unemployment will lag and stay high for a while. Well, who cares if unemployment's going to lag and it's going to stay high for a while? Who cares? Really? But we are in the strongest economic growth since 2006. You've got to be kidding me. Wait a minute. Who was president in 2006? That was Bush.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, he committed a faux pas there. The Dow back over 9,000. This guy, I guarantee you, when it's turned, when it suits him, I guarantee you he bangs on the fact on Wall Street. There's not a doubt in my mind. He's a typical liberal. You know why the Dow was back over 9,000, Ed? It's because the Dow Jones are looking as to what they anticipate in the future. And you know what they see, Ed? They see the stimulus as having failed, and there's not going to be another one. They see healthcare reform on the ropes, and they're glad. And they see, more importantly, Obama's job approval crashing. Although you say it's not, that's why the Dow's up. I know it's hard to understand, because you probably listen to Fox News for 5 minutes, and you listen to Olbermann for the other 55. So I understand that it's hard to understand. Okay? So I'm going to try to walk you through it. 3 straight months of increasing leading economic indicators. If you put $1.5 trillion on the street, you're going to get indicators that go up, Ed. Highest increase of new housing starts in 8 years. Healthcare reform will be done before the holidays because the blue dogs will howl to look more conservative, but ultimately won't betray the president. We can't betray this president. And that's how Ed looks at it. And here he starts into it. A couple of moderate Republicans will come over to leave the rest swinging in the breeze and the remnants of the Confederacy. So bitter. Where does the bitterness come from? Ed, the Republicans haven't had control of Congress for 3 years. Your Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, they've had control. Wake up. It ain't 2006 anymore. Regarding the president's popularity, never before has a new president had to withstand this withering level of 24/7 assault that Obama is receiving from Fox News and right-wing radio, where O'Reilly, Limbaugh, Beck, and Cavuto continue to spew lies and GOP talking points as if they were news. See, I mean, really. Can you tell? I mean, just a Kool-Aid drinker. He's a Kool-Aid bong drinker. You know, you do the beer bongs back. I mean, he is just hammering the Kool-Aid. If you believe that, Ed, which obviously you do, have you not seen the softball press conferences? Have you not seen the fact that your president and my president has been on the cover of Time magazine 12 times in 6 months? fawning over him, but he goes back to Fox, the bastion of evilness to people like Ed. The small drop in Obama's job performance rating. Really? 13% in Ohio? In 2 months? That's a small drop? Trust me when I tell you this, Ed. I know politicians. They're freaking out about Ohio. Any politician that drops 13 points in 2 months is not in a good shape. That is plummeting. And I know Fox News is probably lying to you about that, too. It's strictly due to GOP-leaning independents that voted against Bush going home to the party of no and don't know. Oh, and if you think cap and trade is a jobs killer, just wait until the coal starts to run out. Kentucky relies 92% on coal-fired electricity, and we are sitting on a 50-year supply at current usage, and our absurd plans to build more plants will lower that number even more. I can't even go on with it. Ed, you're right. 92% of Kentucky is supplied by coal plants. Your guy, Barack Obama, we've had the quote on here, under my plan, electricity rates will necessarily skyrocket. So, I don't know about you, Ed, but I know everybody else doesn't want to see their electric bill going up 35% with this cap and trade. And it's aimed squarely at coal-producing states. Kentucky is going to get hurt, is going to get hit worse than any other state in the union, and that's not Fox News. Open your eyes. You talk about talking points. This is nothing but talking points. The whole letter. Some people will look at this stuff, 500,000 jobs being lost each and every single month, and keep telling you, don't worry. Things are going to get better. And really, you know who's to blame for this? It's the Republicans. Now, I've banged on Republicans. They deserve their minority status. They've done a pathetic job over the last 6, 8, 10 years. As a political party, they've done a terrible job, and that's why they're in minority status. But that's the key, Ed. You can try to do your smoke and mirrors here and blame this on Republicans, but people that actually think know that the Republicans don't have the votes to stop anything. So why are you banging on them? It's the people in your own party, Ed, that are freaking out right now. The Republicans can't stop anything. They haven't been in power for 3 years. Your playbook, Ed, is 3 years old. It's time for a new one, and the new one is the employment figures under this president. Ed, you know, Fox News and O'Reilly and Limbaugh and Beck and Cavuto, they're not the ones. It took Bush 8 years, regrettably so, to run up a $1 trillion deficit. It's taken this bunch 6 months to double it. Fox News and these people aren't the ones spending this money. With us on the line, we don't have his theme song because he doesn't bother. He doesn't come bother to come by anymore. He just disses us. Should I identify you?
Absolutely.
Dr. Feelgood, a frequent contributor, or should I say an infrequent contributor here to Airing It Out, Lauren Ledford. Hey, Lauren.
Drew, how are you, my friend?
I'm fine. Yourself?
Always a pleasure to be part of the vast right-wing conspiracy, brother.
Are you a card-carrying member?
It is. Yes, I am. Yes, I am, and I have got a pocket full of talking points.
Oh no. I don't like talking points.
Actually, Drew, this is a personal phone call. And
okay.
I don't know if your listeners know or not, but I am your personal physician.
Yes.
And yes, I'm giving in. I like this socialized medicine. I'm giving in to it. I think Obama's on track. I'm going to go ahead and institute socialized medicine in my office. And since you're a friend, I'm going to go ahead and make you an appointment for 2013, and go ahead in 2015 and schedule you for a CT scan, blood work, and an MRI.
Okay, just so I get in line.
That's right.
I tell you what, this is service, isn't it? This is what you get on the universal health care. Your own doctor. I get to keep my own doctor. Did you get this?
Right.
And he is so good that he's gonna put me in line for my MRI, my blood work, everything, 6 years in advance.
Already set it up 6 years in advance. We're good to go, Drew. Now, like I said, if your appendix burst or,
right,
God forbid, you get some sort of disease, you're going to have to suck it up for 6 years.
Well, I'm just going to have to take a pill. Isn't that what the president said?
Hey, but if you can hang in there for 6 years, I've got your follow-up and all the tests ordered.
Man, I am so happy to know that my own personal physician has my back.
Absolutely.
And my
backside. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're gonna institute, I'm going to start seeing 5 patients a day, 3 days a week.
You're rationing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. Yep. Well, that's good. I mean, listen. I'm glad to hear that you're on board, and I'm assuming that everybody listening is picking up on the sarcasm attached to the doctor's statements.
Well, you know, they may very well pick up on the sarcasm until they call their doctor to get blood work, and it is 2016 until their turn comes up.
You know, in all seriousness, Lauren, people, you know, I think they're beginning to understand. They really, I have faith in the American people, and at some point, they grasp what we're talking about here. And it sounds good to begin with, but as they've gotten into this discussion, they realize we don't want anything to do with this.
Well, when you hear the words "free health care," everybody gets giddy, and like you said, it conjures up positive emotions. Yes. I'd love for everybody to have free electricity and free
everything. I want an Escalade. Can I get an Escalade? I mean, listen, they own GMC, right?
Absolutely.
That's Cadillac. I want a free Escalade.
But the problem you get into, and I've talked,
I'll
to
pay
several,
for the rims.
Several of my colleagues that practice medicine in Canada, is if you truly get sick, you are literally placed in a line. You could die, or your condition could get far worse. Before your doctor or nurse or whoever's participating in your health care even has a chance to try to make you well. And that's where, from a practical standpoint, it's an absolute catastrophe. Absolute catastrophe.
It is. And the American people are picking up on this. And you've got people writing in like Ed that don't bother me with the facts.
That's right.
You know, I just want this. This is going to be a good thing. No, it's not. It's going to be a disaster.
And
I pointed out the first part of the show. You've got these people that can't even manage a $1 billion cash for clunker deal.
Oh, I know.
They can't even handle $1 billion, which in the time we're speaking, the government's already spent $1 billion. $1 billion is nothing, and they can't even handle that, right? And these people still want the government to take care of health care. They want to put the same people that can't handle that, they want to put them in charge of your health care.
And Drew, from a practical standpoint, this is, I'm speaking from the trenches. I'm in the trenches every day.
Yes, you are.
The nurses, and God bless them all, they are far too busy with paperwork. They are at the nursing homes, at the hospitals, in general offices. They are besieged with paperwork. It is interfering with their ability to properly take care of patients. And if you pour more government control over top of these poor nurses, they won't even see patients. They'll literally clock in and do 8 to 12 hour shifts of paperwork.
Let me point this out. You know Matt Suman, general manager down there at Don Hall.
Good friend of mine.
He's quoted in the paper today about the cash for clunkers deals. He says, one drawback to the Cash for Clunkers program is that the amount of paperwork required for deals is, quote, almost prehistoric, unquote, especially in the computer age. Each transaction requires the dealer to submit about 20 copies of various documents to the government. And
absolutely,
that's just on a car. On one vehicle, you got to put 20 copies to various entities of the government. That's just for a vehicle.
I know.
When you deal with your health, you deal with people. You go see doctors like you. You get referrals. You got to see pharmacists. There's so many different facets of the healthcare business that you, from the minute you walk through the front door at whatever it is, a hospital or a private practitioner like yourself, you know, and just multiply that. So exactly what you said, your nurses face just monumental amounts of paperwork as it is.
But people listening at home, Drew, have to ask themselves, and again, from a touchy-feely standpoint, free health care for everybody sounds great, but what you've got to ask yourself, if that's your mother, if that's your wife, if that's your child, heck, if that's you that has a life-threatening illness, are you willing to get in the back of the line and wait 8 months before you even have access to a physician or a nurse?
That's a very good point. Listen, we're up against a heartbreak. When are you going to come see us?
Drew, I'll come by anytime.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Why don't we do this? When's the next show? Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
You want to come Sunday?
What time?
Well, I'll get with you. I don't know. Five, six, whatever time works best for you.
I'm free. I count me in because I want to talk about this.
I want to talk about it too. Five o'clock Sunday.
We need to talk about Coach Calipari.
Yeah, we do have some talking to do. But you know, Vitale's preseason top 40 babies got Big Blue at number two.
Well, they should be ranked number one, and that's coming from me.
Listen to him, and that means a lot. I will see you Sunday at 5 p.m., Dr. Ledford.
Bye, my friend. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. I appreciate the fact that he called in, you know, because that's what's needed. He is in the trenches. He is in the healthcare business. He sees it and deals with it each and every day, and I can't wait to talk to him Sunday evening. I'm going to hold my healthcare stuff until then. And we'll have a discussion with Dr. Ledford, Dr. Feelgood, as he's known here at Airing It Out. And I've had an absolute blast. And speaking of blast, Ed, this is for you, the one that wrote that editorial into the Daily talking about how great things are and the economy's turning around and how great the president is and all of that. Dateline, ABCNews.com, Timothy Geithner won't rule out new taxes on middle class.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
I mean, who didn't see this coming? Of course they're going to raise taxes. With all the programs that they're trying to put in place. But all we heard was 95% of you are never going to see your taxes raised. To get the economy back on track, will President Obama have to break his pledge not to raise taxes on 95% of Americans? In a This Week exclusive, Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner told me, we're going to have to do what's necessary. We have to bring these deficits down very dramatically, and that's going to require some very hard choices. So let me get this straight. It takes President Bush 8 years to run up a $1 trillion deficit, and these clowns go in and double that in 6 months, and the solution is we're going to have to get this deficit down, so we got to raise taxes. The same people that put the deficit on us. Only in D.C. does this make any sense. We had to do what we had to do. We're sorry we tacked $2 trillion on the deficit. But there's a way out. We're going to tax everybody. I want to emphasize the basic reality that the unemployment is very high in this country. Wait a minute. Ed said it's not, didn't he?
He
underlined that the administration is going to do what's necessary to bring growth back on track, not with what you're doing. You get growth back on track by putting more money in people's pockets. You cut taxes, not raise taxes. And then you got Larry Summers. He's the National Economic Council Director, said there's a lot that can happen over time. The administration believes, quote, it is never a good idea to absolutely rule things out no matter what. Wait a minute. Didn't we have the president saying this?
And I can make a firm pledge under my plan, no family making less than $250,000 a year will see any form of tax increase. Not your income tax, not your payroll tax, not your capital gains taxes, not any of your taxes.
Whoa. Wait, isn't that what he told the people in Piketon too? I'm going to back this loan. Those that make under $250,000 a year, 95% of you, are not going to see a tax increase, period. But now what's happening It's all of a sudden on the table. So while the economy is still weak, let's go to Herbert Hoover, shall we? Only an economically ignorant idiot would talk about raising taxes during this current recession. And this administration seems to have more than its share. It is the Herbert Hoover model. That's what he did, and it resulted in the Great Depression. But excuse me, who won't rule out tax increases? Mr. Geithner, who has his own difficulties paying taxes, needs to review the Constitution. The power to tax lies with Congress, not with the executive branch. That's why there are three branches of government. But the lines are becoming increasingly blurred. Come on, you Obama voters. Be patriotic, like Biden said. Pay more taxes. That's what he said. We got to be more patriotic. We're all in this together. You got to pay more taxes. For the sake of the economy, we need a drastic cut in spending, not a raise in taxes on you, the middle class, the ones that not even 8 months ago he was telling, you're not going to have a single dime raised on your taxes. Not a single dime if you make less than $250,000. But you know what's going to happen. And I'm not even going to point out, although, yes, I am. Remember, the Bush tax cuts end in 2010. You think he's going to re-up? A military term that he probably doesn't know about. You think he's going to re-up those taxes? Hell's bells. You know better than that. Geithner, the Treasury Secretary in charge of the IRS, has a history of not paying his own taxes, but is not going to hesitate to raise ours. And he's not even a member of Congress. They got to bring down these deficits very dramatically. It's going to require some very hard choices. Did you think about that before you decided to spend $2 trillion? Was it even a thought? Did you think about that before? Have you seen the projections? For the next 8 years, budget deficits between $1 and $1.5 trillion each and every year. And now they want to raise taxes. We didn't see it. We had no idea how bad this was. We had to do what we had to do. You're going to hear all the refrains. But remember, the president said no tax increases. They already plan to repeal the Bush tax cuts. That's already on the drawing board. And if you think it was just for the very rich, Google it and see who got a tax cut. Everybody got a tax cut. And they're going to propose all income tax surcharge on the wealthy, but that's not going to raise enough either. They're going to soak the middle class because only they have enough money to finance the dreams, the liberal dreams of this administration, of guaranteeing the middle class cradle-to-grave government entitlements. That is what's happening. You can't run a European-style welfare entitlement state, which is what this is, universal health care and everything else, without European-style levels of taxation on the middle class. You cannot do it. And you're going to get what they have in Europe. No growth and perpetual unemployment between 10 and 12 and 13%. It's a shell game. I've told you all ad nauseum. Don't fall for it. It's economics 101. All this money that's being spent, all the money that's projected to being spent, the 5% of the wealthy can't even come close to funding it. The only ones that can are the middle class. It's one of the greatest confident tricks in American political history. What is occurring right this very instant. And so many times you live through life and you don't realize history is being made. This is history. They are pulling the greatest con game in American political history, at least when it comes to taxation. They plan on spending, running us in a deficit of between $1 trillion and $1.5 trillion from now for the next 8 years, each and every single year. Nobody made them spend that money. They went and spent it, or are wanting to spend it. And now they blame it on the deficit, the very deficit that they created. And the middle class is going to pay again for it.
What I was wondering when Willie was going to be coming to the Paramount. You said 18th, 19th September, somewhere in that range.
Right.
I asked you when he was coming because I didn't want it to conflict with my MRI and blood work that I had scheduled for 2016.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what. See, obviously, my physician. I guess I'm one of those people that are able to call and talk to their physician and directly and that sort of thing. So I'm kind of special that way. You notice he called in and talked to me and set these appointments up for me, and I didn't even ask him to do so.
Right.
See, so average people, you're not going to be able to get it until 2019.
Right.
Now, you're looking at a decade
before
you can get a CAT scan or blood work done once universal health care goes through. Time for the world-famous stupid stuff.
Oh, how come things that happen to stupid people keep happening to me?
All right. I've only got two of them, and they're mediocre at best. You know, the thing with stupid stuff is that it just... a lot of times I'll get, man, four or five just laugh out loud, side-ripping funny things, and then there'll be sometimes I don't find anything. What are you sending me here? Oh, September 22nd
right.
is Willie, so that is not going to conflict with my 2016 blood work.
No, that's this year.
Just September 22nd of this year, coming
right.
up.
Right.
Like in 7 weeks.
A month and a half, yeah.
Yeah, something. Okay. I'm glad we confirmed that. But we do sometimes veer from stories and just do stuff that has been emailed into me. And this was emailed into me. And I found it pretty humorous, actually. It's entitled, "And You Think George W. Bush Was an Idiot." Okay. We know nuclear. We remember the verbal gaffes of George W. Bush. And how Letterman and Leno and Stewart and all these guys every single evening just feasted on it. And it was funny. Don't think it was funny. But don't think I don't also see now not the same.
Right.
Nah, there's no making fun of President Obama. There's a little bit of it starting. But until now, I mean, there hasn't been anything made fun of, anything he's done, which is the purpose of this email. Now, mind you, would you say I was a big supporter of George W. Bush?
I wouldn't say big support.
I'd say lukewarm, right. milk toast, like kind of lukewarm.
Yeah.
That would be my description of him,
right?
Of my support for him. But the reason this, and it's not because it's George W. Bush, it's just the president that he followed, that Obama follows now, and just everybody knows for 8 years how much fun was made at President Bush's expense. And like I said, some of it was well-deserved. But just think about these. Think about these. If George W. Bush had made a joke at the expense of the Special Olympics, would you have approved? If George W. Bush had given the Prime Minister of England a set of inexpensive and incorrectly formatted DVDs when Gordon Brown, who is the PM of England, had given him a thoughtful and historically significant gift, would you have approved? If George W. Bush had given the Queen of England an iPod containing videos of his speeches, would you have thought this embarrassingly narcissistic and tacky? If George W. Bush had bowed to the King of Saudi Arabia, would you have approved? If George W. Bush had visited Austria and made reference to the non-existent Austrian language, would you have brushed it off as a minor slip? If George W. Bush had filled his cabinet and his circle of advisors with people who cannot seem to keep current on their income taxes, would you have approved? If George W. Bush had burned 9,000 gallons of jet fuel to go plant a single tree on Earth Day, would you have concluded that he's a hypocrite? So you get the point so far. These are all things that this president has done. Which, if that was Bush, he would have been murdered for any one of these things. It would have been late-night fodder for all of them. Craig Ferguson, Jimmy Fallon, all these late-night people would have been all over it. Every single one of these incidents. So Ed can talk about how Fox News is just the evil. It's just evil how they're trying to destroy this president. When all you got to do is look at humorous stuff like this and say to yourself and think to yourself, is the media treating this president differently? If George W. Bush's administration had okayed Air Force One to fly low over millions of people, followed by a jet fighter in downtown Manhattan causing widespread panic, would you have wondered whether they actually get what happened on 9/11? If George W. Bush had been the first president to need a teleprompter installed to be able to get through a press conference, would you have laughed and said this is more proof of how inept he is on his own and is really controlled by smarter men behind the scenes? And you know that's what would have been said about him. If George W. Bush had failed to send relief aid to flood victims throughout the Midwest, remember that? We talked about it here. Would you have made it a major ongoing political issue with claims of racism and incompetence? If George W. Bush had ordered the firing of the CEO of a major corporation like he did at General Motors, even though he had no constitutional authority to do so, would you have approved? If George W. Bush had then proposed to double the debt again 10 times within years, would you have approved? And if he had reduced your retirement plan's holdings of GM stock by 90%, which is what he did with the reverse split, and given the unions a majority stake in GM, would you have approved? And finally, if he had spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to take Laura Bush to a play in New York City, would you have approved? Tell me again, what is it about Obama that makes him so brilliant and impressive? Can't think of anything? Don't worry, he's done all of those things that I just read in just 5 months. So be patient. You've still got 3 years and 7 more months to come up with an answer. It's interesting, isn't it? All of those things.
Yeah, it is.
And he's done it all. We've covered a lot of those different things, but it was all put into bullet points in the email that was sent to me. And I think we did have a story about how there seems to be a moratorium or a lockdown on making fun of this president. And each and every single instance right there would have provided a week's worth of material for the same late-night hosts that don't dare come close to making fun of this president. And I know that I'm going to get the, well, you're just a Bush Homer thing. I know I'm going to get it, which is why I gave pause before I read it. But you know what? If you want to think that's what I am, he's no longer president. How can I be a homer for somebody that's no longer a president? But when I read letters into the paper like I read today, where these people think it's still 2006, and that this president is completely infallible, and what he's doing is he just wants the best for people. Tell that to the people in Piketon that are employed and soon to be unemployed at the power plant. And to blame it on Fox News and the vast right-wing conspiracy trying to take this president down. I'm tired of it. What you see going on right now with all these representatives going back to their home districts, having town hall meetings and getting shouted down, people are legitimately mad about what is going on in D.C. Whether it will continue and grow, I don't know. But there's a movement afoot. I have said it all along. The American people are who I have faith in. That's who I have trust in. I don't have trust in government. And with liberals, it's the other way around. They don't trust American people. They trust government and the machinations thereof to control people's lives. My faith is still with the American people. Things are turning. As this sees the light of day, they're like cockroaches to the lamp. They are scurrying away. They want nothing to do with these town hall meetings because people are actually questioning them. It's been the first time this has occurred in a long time, and what you hear from the media is they're just mobs. They're just mobs. Look at how well-dressed they are. This is orchestrated. Oh, yeah? You know what it is? Is these people have jobs. The media celebrates during the Iraq War. Oh, they celebrated all the protesters talking about how bad things are, and we got to get out of Iraq. And it was all the same protesters that have no jobs. They're professional protesters. They didn't question them then. They said that's the right to free speech. And what is going on now is free speech, and they don't like it. Hillary Clinton once said, do you have it? Yeah, this is Hillary just back a couple years ago when people were upset that she was questioning the Bush administration.
I am sick and tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
My, how things change in 3 years. I want to thank you all for listening this evening. The next live edition will be Sunday at 5 p.m. We hope you'll tune in then. As for tonight, thanks so much for listening.
You've been listening to Airing It Out with Drew Skaggs, a presentation of the best country, 105.7 WLGC.